Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 33, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Ahamevasamevagre
Nanyadyatsadasatparam
Paschadaham yaditaccha Yovasishyeta sosmyaham.
To, do we have any? Well, I'll read through this. I'll read it. It's a very long purport. Maybe it's the longest purport in the whole of the Bhagavatam. So I'll read through it, and then I can give it to the Americans to read. And reading personally is much quicker than reading out loud. So you should be able to fit it all there. I'll read the translation in English. No, you can read afterwards, and then just read the whole purport in Slovene. Is it Slovene or Slovenian? Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. Let's go on. Ahameva asameva agre nani adyat sadasat param paschadaham yade tachcha yovashishita sosmiaham. This is one of the famous verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Every verse is Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. But some verses are considered more important because they more clearly for us illuminate certain qualities of Krishna, or help us to understand Krishna. So this verse is important, we can understand from Prabhupada's long commentary. Of course, any verse commentary can be given for days and days and days by those who are Bhagavat Tattvavit, those who are in knowledge of the science of Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that's well known. Daily, throughout the month of Kartik, he lectured on the first verse of Bhagavatam, giving different explanations. Krishna Tula Bhagavat Vipu Sarvashray Prati Shloke Prati Akkare Nana Artha Koi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us that Srimad Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna. Like Krishna is all powerful and can give shelter to all. In every verse and every syllable, so many different meanings are there. The basic meaning is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to Him, love Him, serve Him. But that also can be, this very statement can be understood in unlimited ways, because Krishna has unlimited servants. And all serve Him in various ways, not stereotype ways. So service to Krishna is unlimited and not describable. All the different kinds of service that are going on eternally, that's not possible to describe all, but the devotees have collected some gems from the ocean of Bhakti Ras and made Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which classifies or gives some insights into what is Bhakti Ras, what are the mellows of devotional service. So here, important verse, must be important because one of the seed verses of Bhagavatam, Seed verse means Bhagavatam is unlimited. We have. This should be adjusted. Yeah. Okay. We have 18,000 verses present with us now. But actually, Bhagavatam is unlimited because Bhagavatam means a description of Krishna and his devotees and everything. Krishna is everything. Krishna is not unrelated to anything. And everything is Krishna. So actually Bhagavat Tattva means everything. Yeah. There are unlimited verses of Bhagavatam, but we have 18,000. In brief, we have it in 18,000 verses. That may seem like a very big book, but actually it's just some opening the door to see what is beyond. But even those 18,000 verses, they are encapsulated in these four verses, or from these four verses, the Bhagavatam, which is eternally unlimited, has expanded. That means expanded from our vision, because otherwise Bhagavatam is always fully existent in all Bhagavatam's glories. But in terms of this creation, these four verses were spoken to Brahma, who, as we see in this canto, explained them to Narad and to his other disciples, who later expanded the ocean of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, the scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, which naturally leads to bhakti ras, the loving mellows of devotional service. So, bhakti ras, which is the actual subject of Bhagavatam, as is described in the beginning, pibhata bhagavata rasa, we are advised to drink the rasa of Srimad Bhagavatam. But that is not possible to be drunk or understood as long as there are misconceptions about who is Bhagavan, who is the jiva, and what is the relationship between them. So, in this material world, Srimad Bhagavatam appears to give bhakti ras for the rasik bhaktas, those who are absorbed in the loving mellows of serving Krishna. They can relish. And also to help those who are not situated on that platform to become situated by knowledge of who is Krishna and what is our relationship with him. Because in this material world, we are here in this material world due to ignorance of our relationship with Krishna. This is the world of ignorance. Prabhupada sometimes would pronounce it ignorance. So ignorance means lack of knowledge, and to ignore means to neglect. So by neglecting Krishna, we have come to this state of ignorance. The remedy for which is to attain knowledge of who is Krishna, what is our relationship with him. But this being the world of ignorance is also difficult to attain that knowledge, because this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world in which everything is focused on Krishna. And in the material world, everything is unfocused, not clear. And specifically, Ichha Dvesha Simultena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sangmoham Sarge Yanti Parantapa Specifically, everyone comes to this world motivated, activated by mundane desires and hatred of Krishna, underlying bad feeling towards Krishna. Very serious situation in which ignoring Krishna, we try to declare ourselves Ishvaraham, Aham Bhogi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. And even the worm in stool, the jiva who has attained the status of the worm in stool, considers I am the controller of the whole universe, which stretches from one end of the piece of stool to the other. Beyond this, there is nothing more to be known. This is reality. As far as the jiva in the body and of the worm in stool is concerned, this is reality. We have researched, we have gone from one side to the other, from inside, outside, and we have concluded that beyond this stool, there is nothing more to be known. This is reality. We shall enjoy. What more is so enjoyable? We are born in stool, we live in stool, we eat stool, we have sex in stool, everything wonderful. Reality is stool. He doesn't even know it's stool. He doesn't even know anything. Limited intelligence. But that attitude, I shall enjoy, I shall control, perverted mentality, instead of dasoham, I am the servant. Servant means that he is neither Ishvara nor Bhogi. He is neither the controller nor the enjoyer. He's simply meant to serve the controller and act to facilitate his pleasure. So due to a misconception that is adopted by the jiva or is given to him as a gift from Maya to help him forget Krishna, he has many desires and many theories. There are so many philosophies in the world which, unknown to the philosophers themselves, as they argue among themselves, are all based on one principle, which is forgetfulness of Krishna. And even those who consider themselves now spiritually advanced, now we are going beyond, they've studied Vedic literature, now we are going beyond this tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun, we're going beyond this mature world, no more material desires. But they didn't go anywhere. It seems we've gone beyond, we've gone into, beyond the viraja, beyond the world of raja, beyond this material world. We've entered the spiritual sphere. But they didn't go anywhere because in their consciousness, they still didn't accept, I am the servant of Krishna. So apparently, they've crossed beyond this material world. But no, there's a string holding them still. They think, I am free. Just like the cow is tied up and allowed to graze. And if you give a long rope, you may think, now I'm free. I can cross over. Even the river is there in the field. You can cross. I can go to the other. I always wanted to eat the grass on the other side of the river. So now, very long rope, but still a rope. And any time it can be pulled back. It must be pulled back. So the impersonalists, yenye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayasta bhava devi shuddha buddhaya aruhya kritshrena parang padang tataf patantyadho anadrita yushmadangraha. They think, now I'm liberated. So they are. They've gone beyond the viraja. But they're not actually liberated. Because the same, they've seen the problem is material desire, but they've not picked up spiritual desire. They've become detached from matter, but not attached to Krishna. They're still envious of Krishna. So for all their effort, they have to come back to this material world. So this is the most pernicious. You know what that means? Pernicious. It means subtly dangerous. It's the most, well, we can say pernicious, but it's our own bad desire. This underlying desire to be separate from Krishna, to be equal to or greater than Krishna, to replace Krishna, which remains even in the lives of persons who otherwise appear to be very saintly. But underlying is the actually demoniac propensity to forget Krishna, reject Krishna, replace Krishna. So in speaking these seed verses of Bhagavatam, Krishna is establishing very clearly what is the actual situation. Aham evasame bhagavi nanyat yat sadasat param paschad aham yadetachcha yovasishyeta sosmi aham. Three times in this verse is aham, I. It is I who existed prior to this creation. It is I who am at the root of this creation. I continue to exist. And I will continue to. It is I. Krishna is pointing. It's me. Don't think it's you. You are not the root of creation. You are not the center of the universe. It is I. Emphasizing himself. Krishna is the center. That has to, simply this point has to be understood. Very simple point. Jiv Krishna das abhishas karleta ardu kanai. All the problems in the world are caused by what? Muslims? Bombing. Cause of bombing is Muslims. The problem is the Muslims. Okay, kill them all. Is that the solution? No solution. The problem is the multinational corporations. The problem is the Jews. Or maybe there's a conspiracy. Different people are conspiring against us to control us. No, no. The problem is our own foolishness. That is the real problem. And all other problems are simply manifestations of our conglomerate foolishness. We're all in the world of foolishness. And we're all here foolishly trying to exploit each other and show Ishvaraham, aham bhogi, without recognizing Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the Supreme Controller. So simply to accept, I am Jiva, I am not this body. I am not whatever designations are piled on this body. As soon as a child is born, immediately, designation, he's Slovene, give him a number. Slovenian number. Or maybe they'll give European numbers soon. Give him a number. He's which racial group, which blood group. What languages does he speak? Then as he grows up, he collects more and more designations. Strong, fat, weak, thin, heart patient, PhD, MSc, ignorant, so many designations picks up. Likes football, likes macaroni, doesn't like chili powder. So many designations which have nothing to do with nothing to do with the soul. The only designation of the soul from which spring all these features of his transcendental personality is that he is the servant of Krishna. So when one understands this, Jeev Krishna Das Ebishas Korleta, then no more problem. Ardukana. Then all his problem, he thinks I have problems, he doesn't even know the extent of his problems. He thinks I don't like chili powder, that's a problem. If someone gives me food with chili powder, but I like macaroni, that's also a problem. But he thinks it's good, I like macaroni, I can enjoy macaroni. But that's also a problem. Because his enjoyment is not the very idea that he can enjoy means he's conceiving himself as an entity separate from Krishna. I am the enjoyer. I shall enjoy. We shall enjoy the nice sunshine in the summer. And in the winter, it's not so nice. But we can also go skiing. So that's also enjoyment. We can make some enjoyment out of this cold weather. There's always, if one is expert enough, one can always find some enjoyment. Even they have horror movies. What's enjoyable? But somehow they find some enjoyment in pretending that sitting in front of a screen and identifying with the images on the screen which invoke some feeling of horror. So even some people take pleasure in blowing others up. That's all in the news nowadays. It's all for sense gratification. A very perverted form. So the problem is misidentification of the self. So Krishna is stating very clearly, it's not you. You are not the enjoyer. You're not God. You're a tiny little jiva. It's me. I'm God. I'm the supreme. I'm the enjoyer. I'm the controller. Why don't you recognize that? That's not going to change by any amount of imagination. One cannot make himself God, even by the greatest efforts. It's already been tried. Hiranyakashipu already tried. Ravana already tried. And they seem to be successful. They seem to be actually Ishvar Bhogi. They seem to be in control. But in due course of time, all their plans were smashed. Because they were in the wrong position. And even the impersonalists who appear to have transcended desire and thus transcended everything in this world, because this is the world of desire, they appear to have gone beyond, to have merged with everything. And then they think, and then again they come to the same position, I am God. Instead of thinking I am a worm in stool god, or a fish god, or a Hitler god, or a Bush god, or whatever, or a miner going down the coal mine god, or whatever. There are so many. Tinker, say, what is it? Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor. Everyone thinking I'm God. He thinks he's gone beyond that. But now he thinks, now I am. Actually, I've merged with the cosmic consciousness and become everything. And as a result, after some time in that situation, he again becomes worm in stool, Ishvara, Bhogi, so-called. In his own consciousness, he thinks like that. The actual Ishvara is Krishna. He's actually situated in that situation. It's not changeable. It's not up for vote. It's not a question of opinion. Let's go to the World Parliament of Religions and take a vote. Who is God? So you can have. Now the World Parliament of Religions has decided that such and such is God, or God is like this. God has a long beard. You see, he still has a long beard. So Michelangelo painted his beard quite a long time ago. And in the meantime, they invented Colgate shaving cream, so probably he got himself cleaned up in the meantime. So they better vote on it. And they voted, now God has no beard. Okay, so they can vote whatever they like, or think whatever they like, and discuss whatever they like, but it doesn't change his nature. He is as he is. He is explaining himself here. And we are as we are, and we, by any amount of imagination or confabulation, we cannot take his position or change our own position in the slightest, because our position is eternally Jiva Shurupai, Krishna Nityadas, Krishna Tatastha Shakti, Bheda Bhed Prakash. The position is eternally that of servant of Krishna. Never Krishna, but only his marginal potency. One with him and different from him simultaneously. This is scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So difficult for the conditioned soul to understand. He has no capacity to understand because his mind resists that. People tend to understand in a most unscientific manner. Even the scientists, so-called scientists. We are told by students of science that, or students of the, not science per se, but the whole, the history of science, philosophy of science, that's it, students of the philosophy of science, that even when some scientific theory is thoroughly disproved, one that's been widely accepted, even when it's been thoroughly disproved, and another theory accepted as fact, waiting to be disproved, then still the old theory continues to be accepted widely until the present generation of scientists die out. Then the new generation, they take it up, the new one, because the old generation, they're set in their way of thinking. So as far as they're concerned, it's like this, this it is like it is this, and there's no way of changing it. And you have to wait till all the old professors die out, and then the new professors come in with a new theory, which is in the process of being disproved by someone else. Once I met I was distributing Srila Prabhupada's books at there was a convention, All India Science Convention. So I was going to the hostels and I met one scientist and I asked him what he's doing. He said, well, I mostly attend conventions like this all over the world and I present papers. So he asked what I'm doing and I said, I'm distributing this book, Life Comes from Life. He said, what's it about? And I said, well, this shows that the evolutionary theory is completely bogus. And he laughed and said, we already know that. So I said, well, why are you still teaching? He said, we don't have any other theory. You have to teach something. Otherwise, you go to science class and then they say, today's science class, we don't know. Oh, then how can you say you don't know? Because we can very learnedly say we don't know, but that they won't say, because a learned person, Panditamani, likes to show, yes, I'm very learned. So after the little child, 5 years old, comes to school, doesn't know. And then after studying for 25 years and going through school, college, BSc, MSc, all these things. You maybe have a different system in your country. Then they come to the conclusion, we don't know. So you're in the same position as the five-year-old, except you have a lot of garbage in your brain to support the
to support the understanding that we don't know. They can't say we don't know, otherwise they'll look like a 5-year-old. The emperor has no clothes. So they have to pretend they know. So who knows? Krishna knows. Those who know Krishna, they know. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam. Those who take knowledge from Krishna, they can know. How can we know? What can we know? Tiny little beings. What can we know about the universe? We're like little ants. What can they know? So many times I gave this example. Little ant is crawling from here to here. What can he know? What's going on in this room? That there are human beings in this room. What human beings are even? Even if the ant is crawling on your arm, he is beyond his body is placed on the body of a human being, but he has no capacity to understand that. As far as he's concerned, it's just something. He doesn't have that much consciousness, limited consciousness. So how, even he's directly in contact with a human, what is a human and what are their cares and concerns, and is beyond his level of intelligence or understanding. So what can we understand? Tiny little beings. We look out at the universe through a telescope, and we look at the universe and juggle a few mathematical figures, and then we teach science that originally there was nothing, and then a singularity appeared in the middle of nothing. But there's nothing in the middle of nothing, so how could a singularity appear? There's so many funny ideas. Then it exploded, and here we are today. And they teach. They don't say maybe, or this is our theory, or this is someone's theory, because they don't even all have the same theory. But they teach, yes, this is what happened. Based on what? Based on some incredible speculations based on limited sensory experience. So those who are more intelligent, those who are fortunate, they take knowledge from Krishna. Ahameva asameva agre. What was there before everything? Krishna. What is there now? What is holding everything together? Krishna. When then, after everything is gone from this material world, when it's again bhutva bhutva pralayate, when again it's when again it is closed down, when it's time for the fair to close down, the whole material creation is closed down, and Krishna will continue to exist. And the jiva will continue to exist. But should the jiva live with Krishna, or should he live in various misconceptions within this material situation? Krishna is giving the choice for those who can hear. Most people cannot hear, they cannot understand. Even if they hear, they cannot understand, because they have a concept that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. So they cannot even good instruction given to them, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead given to them, they cannot understand due to wrong desires, perverted desires, the perverted desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, to be a separate controller from Krishna. I shall control even Krishna. He should come under my control. So, understanding of Krishna is not simply an academic process. Krishna is revealed by his devotees to those who are Sivanmukh. Sivanmukh. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyamindriyai Sivon Mukhe Hi Jivado Swayameva Spurati Adaha. Krishna cannot be understood even by studying Bhagavata. One can study
this highest knowledge of the Absolute Truth, which is compiled by Vyasadeva, which is Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. This is the actual essence, the actual reality of knowledge given in the Vedas, which means knowledge. This is knowledge, this is reality. But that cannot be accessed by one who is not favored by the devotees, who has not got this mentality, Sevan Mukh, let me serve Krishna. Well, if one has an inkling of a desire, of the beginning of that desire to serve Krishna, to serve his devotees, then he can begin to understand. Susu Shru Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. One who is just beginning the desire to serve devotees, and such a person is blessed with the taste to hear about Krishna and the ability to understand. So understanding is a blessing from Krishna. Otherwise, one must misunderstand, even if he approaches Bhagavata Shastra. That Krishna gives the knowledge of him to one who wants that knowledge, one who wants to serve him, one who wants to be situated in his proper position. So this knowledge of Krishna, it's not exactly it's not exactly stereotyped or academic. We have Bhakti Shastri class, all these courses, which are very good, they should be done. But it's not simply by study that one can understand. Bhakti Shastri class, the symptom of the success of that course will be that everyone becomes very enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Everyone becomes more surrendered. Everyone becomes more trinadapi sunich in their attitude, considering themselves lower than the straw in the street. Everyone becomes enlivened. Evang prasanna manaso. They become enlivened in their consciousness, enlivened to serve Krishna more and more. So as one develops this attitude that I'm simply meant to serve Krishna, and actually engages in the service of Krishna through the service of his devotees, then all these truths are revealed. And then one becomes more enthusiastic to serve Krishna, which is the essence. This Srimad Bhagavatam Rasa Shastra, Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, go on drinking the nectar. Alayam, eternally. So, go on drinking the nectar. But what is that? Bhakti ras is, that ras is extracted from Sevan Mukta, from the side of the devotee. He experiences bhakti ras in his service attitude to Krishna. And Krishna experiences that in his attitude of service to and accepting service from his devotees. But then who will serve? One has to understand why I should serve. Every jiva has his own self-interest. He's interested, what is good for me? All the advertisements we see, every single one of them, whatever they're advertising, whether it's fried chicken, or life insurance, or join the army. You have adverts like that in Slovenia? Join the army. Do you have an army in this country? Is there any point in having an army in this country? Yeah, they have an army. Okay. So, I don't know who they're going to fight against. They don't have much chance against anyone. anyone. So whatever the advertisement is, it's all based on the principle that you will benefit if you follow our advice. If you eat this fried chicken, you will enjoy. If you take this life insurance, then you can feel satisfied that your family will be looked after you die. If you join the army, then you can see the world and have the satisfaction of serving your country. Whatever it is, use this toothpaste, then your breath will be so sweet that all the beautiful girls will want to come and kiss you, and you will be happy. So, all the advertisements are based on how you will benefit. What is for my benefit? Swart, swa'art. What is in my interest? But Bhagavatam teaches, nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnam. The actual object of our swart or our self-interest is Vishnu. So we're in back to front consciousness. We're thinking Vishnu should serve me. I'll go to the church and pray, give me daily bread and everything else. He should serve me, but no. Serve Krishna. Why? Actually out of love, but in the beginning, when there's no love, then it will be good for you. That was actually in your self-interest. There's no happiness in this material world. You can be happy serving Krishna. Actually, that's a fact. So that has to be understood, this Bhagavat-tattva-vijnanam, scientific knowledge of the personality of Mukta-sangasya-jayanti, that leads to freedom from the misconception. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And leads us to the territory or to the kingdom, to the empire of service. Here we are, very tiny, insignificant beings falsely claiming, I am in control here. Just like children, they play games. And I am the king. I am the controller. Just a game, child's game. Who will take it seriously? So, I am the president of America. I am the head of this house. I am the queen bee, or whatever it may be. All children's play. And reality, I am the servant of Krishna. This is our actual self-interest. Very difficult for the conditioned soul to accept. He has to give up his false ego, false pride of always trying to show I am better, I am better than others. But no, simply a servant. This is our happy position. When we can understand, then we can accept. Then we can be blessed to enter into bhakti ras. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives the full knowledge by which we are induced, those who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, they are induced to take up service to Krishna. But that philosophy, it's not simply a means. It's not, when Krishna is speaking philosophy, it's not that, well, now we're speaking philosophy and after that we'll have Ras Leela and throw out all the philosophy. But this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is also it's not simply dry knowledge, but it's also imbued with rasa. It's also imbued with the sweetness that comes of understanding and serving Krishna, because this knowledge is Krishna. This knowledge reveals the glories of Krishna. So it's not that this verse, aham eva sam eva agra, it's not that this is just some lower level. This is not lower level. This is all Krishna. And those who actually appreciate Krishna, they appreciate to hear how Krishna is existing before, during, after, inside, outside, as the basic principle of everything that exists. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
You explained that if you fully surrender, the best is out of love. But then we are not on this level, then we have to surrender because we know that it's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then
that leads us to the point of surrender. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I catch myself that because I know that if I'm fully selfless, then I know that this is topmost enjoyment. Because I know that Krishna will give.
We get caught in a trap, huh? So how to get out of this trap? There's one principle which can help us, which is Krishna's mercy. That when we actually advance towards the platform of serving more and more, then that the sweetness of service captures our mind and takes it over, and all personal desires have, there's no room left in them. No room left for them. What do you say, Ananda Prabhu? Any comment? Any question, comment? More? Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada is giving all the knowledge we need. And he Krishna arranges for our understanding. How can we know that our understanding is proper? Because there are many.
How can you know when your understanding is proper? When you're happily engaged in devotional service. Actually, we can ultimately understand when we enter the spiritual world. That we can do now here also. Philosophically, yes, but experience is also there. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness is to be experienced. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Nashochati Nakankshati. All in Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Of course, it may be difficult for us to see. That verse, I'm just saying, I'm presuming you all know it, maybe you don't all know it. Then Krishna says that one who is situated on the transit, on the spiritual platform, becomes fully happy from the soul and neither laments nor hankers for anything material. He is equally disposed to all living beings and in this state attains to the highest level of devotional service. So there are many descriptions in Shastra. But the descriptions in Shastra also show us what is bhakti, bhava bhakti, the advanced stage when one is developing certain qualities. It's described there. But ultimately that has to be experienced. It's not just book knowledge. Krishna consciousness is scientific, but not clinical. Ultimately, bhakti is independent even of the rules of Shastra. The rules of Shastra are just to guide us towards the kingdom of bhakti. But Bhakti Devi, she's not under the rules and regulations of Shastra. The rules and regulations of Shastra, they They help us to dance with the same rhythm and movement as Bhakti Devi. But then she can dance in some other way if she likes also. So how can you tell, that I say, when you go there? In the meantime, there are guides, Shastra is our guide, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. And like I said, one who experiences that, then he knows. Otherwise, one may remain always in doubt. One supposed Raganuga Bhakta who writes criticisms of Srila Prabhupada on the internet, declaring himself a Raganuga Bhakta, elsewhere states that, well, actually I don't really have much time, I don't really do any bhajan, I don't do any sadhana. His Raganuga sadhana is criticizing Srila Prabhupada. Hellish person. And then he also admits sometimes, well, I'm not really sure if Krishna actually exists or not. So he's very learned. So learned he can find out all the mistakes in Prabhupada's books. Very good Sanskrit scholar. He can... Yamaraj also speaks Sanskrit, so... He can speak Sanskrit with him. Ah! Is that said in Sanskrit? It's the Sanskrit way to go to hell. There are many ways. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.